Good morning, church. Welcome to 2026. I'm Pastor Eric, pastor here. This last song we sang, Gratitude, is something, every time we sing it, it hits me, because one of the first times I heard that song was I was actually teaching at a drug and alcohol rehab facility, ministering to some men who were in treatment for recovery. Some were court-ordered, some were there willingly, and it just hit me something different about, in that moment, I still go back to that day, because a lot of you might not know, my past was a pretty rough past, one of drugs, one of alcohol, one of criminal activity, but God makes all things new, amen? That God can renew, God can restore, God can revitalize and bring new life, can change and transform people's lives for the good and for the betterment, not just for themselves, but for others as well. And that's my testimony, that's my story, is God has used all the stuff from my past and he's using it for good. And I'm just so thankful I get to be used by God. I get to be in a place of worship, to worship him with all of you. And there's literally nowhere else I'd rather be than right here with you on Sunday morning, worshiping our Jesus, worshiping our Lord. And how many know, the first Sunday of the year, you're here. The first full week of the year, we're worshiping Jesus, starting the year off right. Now, you got to go for perfect attendance, okay? So you're on track. So I'm going to look for you next week. But perfect attendance is the goal for this year. I'm just kidding, kind of. But it's always a joy to see more people hearing God and being with him and worshiping him. But there's nothing quite like a new year, right? There's like some people, it's like it's just another day. It's just another... Now I just got to write the wrong date for a few months on things. But really, it should be a chance for us to realize God's mercies are new every day. Lamentations 3:23, God's mercies, God gives us another day. Every day we wake up, it's a blessing. It's a thank you, God, I'm breathing, and I woke up and got out of bed. Right? Gratitude is something that does something so much for our minds. But you know, looking at a new year, beyond just the resolutions, right? Almost, how many of you make a New Year's resolution? Okay, three of you. Or you're afraid to raise your hand because nobody else raised their hand. That's okay to make. I think you should have goals. You should have some things that you want to do different this year. You want to, maybe the resolution thing has kind of lost its course, I think. But we should have a goal. And the way we start the year is important, but doesn't determine how the rest of the year has to go. For instance, just 3 days ago, January 1st, morning of a new year, I drive my truck up the road and it dies. Just stops. I turn the key on, it fires up, it won't keep running. I fire it up, won't keep running. And I'm stuck. Thankfully, friends was coming over. They tried to jump it. It wasn't the battery. AAA came. They tried all the different things. They checked the diagnostic, and they end up having to tow it to a mechanic. And I'll be honest, one of my first thoughts was, is this how my rest of my year is going to go? Isn't that the way the enemy wants to get in our minds and go, man, this bad circumstance or this difficult thing or this... One incident, and I go, no, I'm not going to let one day, one incident, one problem, one circumstance determine how the rest of my year is going to go. Because I don't live for me, I live for God, and I live for his purpose. He has a good plan and a good purpose. Now, my truck's still at the mechanic, I'm going to hopefully hear from them tomorrow, but that doesn't change my joy. That doesn't change my life and what the direction I'm on. But so you could be here today, 4 days into the new year, and go, like, yeah, I'm still waiting for that change. Choose to change that today. Choose to hit delete on any of the stuff that started to creep in already. Hit delete on 2025 and start fresh. That's the beauty of a new year. We start fresh. We start new. We can start new. And there's somebody who makes everything new. His name is Jesus. In fact, in Revelation 21, the second to last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 5, this vision that John is giving, that Jesus says, look, I am making everything new. He's saying this about himself. He said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. He also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. I can't promise you 2026 is going to go perfectly, or your circumstances are all going to go the way you want them to, but I can tell you there's one who makes everything new, and his name is Jesus. Jesus makes all things new. He's the beginning and the end. As we end one year and start a new year, Jesus is in both of them. Because all things and everything was created through Jesus, so all the things we look forward to this year, if we're looking for the right things, we're seeking God, that this series that we're titled Seek First, and we're going to dive into those texts in just a little bit, it really all comes down to seeking Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And there's a promise in his word that all who are thirsty, all who are longing for him, right? You know when you're thirsty, you wake up in the middle of the night or early morning, especially now it's drier season, it's like, I just need a drink. I need to quench that thirst. He's saying when you thirst for him, when you have that thirst and desire for God, he freely gives us from the springs of the water of life. The water of life that's refreshing. The water of life that just quenches it. It satisfies like nothing else can satisfy. That you're not waiting for your next drink. He gives us this eternal satisfaction, this eternal quenching of our thirst. Looking to 2026, you know, we've been sharing for several weeks and a couple months now about a transition we're going to be happening here at Bridge City Church, Murraysville. So we are a campus of Bridge City Church. There's four locations, but in a few weeks, about 7 weeks, we're actually going to be closing this campus and reopening as a brand new church called Freedom Church. Now, yes, if you've been around, you're very excited because what this means is we're not going to, there's nothing wrong or bad with Bridge City Church. We're going to do things differently, though. We believe God's given a vision for Murraysville and the surrounding communities, for Franklin Regional School District specifically, that we're going to be able to be more intentionally focused in this community, doing things the way that we believe God is calling us as a people in Westmoreland County and Murraysville and in this school district that are going to be done a little bit different. One of those things are really partnering and working with the school, looking to get connected with ministries that are already functioning within Franklin Regional School and expanding them, working with local businesses and nonprofits and other churches to reach children, reach kids, reach people far from God, and not just bring them into this building, but to bring them into the kingdom of God. We're not in a competition with the other churches. We're actually working with other churches, looking at working with other churches to do things in export, a community outreach center, looking to help reach as many people as we can so that the vision of Freedom Church, the mission statement of that we want to be a life-giving church that helps people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make an impact into their world. That's what we're going to do, help people not just know about God, but really know him, have a real and personal relationship with him, to find freedom from their past, from their sin, from their stuff, and be able to walk in freedom so that they impact other people's lives, so that they help other people get free as well. Just to give a quick update, on your seats regarding Freedom Church, there are these green, there's a few spotted around. I know many of you have filled these out already. I'm bringing them up again because some of you have been giving financially to Freedom Church, which we appreciate. We love you. Thank you. If you didn't fill out a card, we still want you to fill out a card. So some of you have been giving payments, but we don't have your card. If you could fill out your card of how much you're going to give financially to Freedom Church. Now, this is in addition to your regular giving to Bridge City. Because we are still Bridge City for the next 2 months, we're still asking you to give your normal tithe to Bridge City. This is above and beyond for launch money. Now, launch money is going toward all the legal fees, administrative things. We have to purchase a lot of things for the facility, new signs on the outside. We're going to be doing a lot more marketing to get the word out. Just like a new business or a new restaurant in the area, there's a lot of marketing that goes out to get the word out, to let people know what is happening with Freedom Church, with this new church starting on March 1st. So if you're just hearing this for the first time, I invite you to take this and prayerfully consider what you could give to help Freedom Church grow, be healthy, and long-term, sustainable long-term. I do want to give you an update for all you who did give. We had a vision night about 6 weeks ago where I was asking for people to give, to contribute, and the total amount so far committed is $67,950. And I laid out all the things that that money's going towards. Today, after church, we're going to have next steps. We had it last month. Next steps, which is you're going to hear more about the church. You're going to be able to hear more of the vision, more of the direction, some decisions, things that we're making in the next couple months. So anybody and everybody is welcome to stay for next steps. There's food going to be provided, and there's also childcare if you have children. We have that provided after church as well. We're going to be meeting in the cafe, so out the doors to the left in the cafe. If you want to hear more about Freedom Church, even if you're here for the very first time, come stick around. There's free pizza, chips, and drinks, and we want to help bless you with that, but also let you know about Freedom Church. If you know you can fill these out today, feel free to drop it in the offering basket as it comes around after the message, or get it to the back, because we want to have a good, accurate record of those. So, stay for next steps. You know, going into 2026, we're looking forward to the vision God has given us for this church and this community for this year. But personally, we all have some new habits we could begin having or changing some of our habits. And we actually see this in Luke 2, 52, where Jesus, he actually had to increase. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And there's four keys there, that relationally, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So Luke 2, 52, should be a slide on there, that Jesus himself grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew in understanding mentally. He grew physically. He also grew in favor with God and man. That's spiritually and relationally. So Jesus himself grew. We all need to grow in those same areas: the relational, physical, mental and emotional, and also spiritual. Might not be in there. That's okay. So the RPMs are what we call them. You know, on a tachometer on a vehicle, there's the RPMs, the revolutions per minute. And when that RPMs, the engine is going too high, the engine burns out or blows up or seizes. When the RPMs get too low, the vehicle stalls out. It doesn't run, doesn't start, kind of like my truck. The RPMs, there they are, the four things, RPMs. So sometimes we refer to the RPMs. This is what we're talking about: relational, relationships, physically, mental and emotion. How are your thoughts? How are you doing mentally? What books are you reading? What are you listening to? What kind of music are you putting in your mind? And then spiritually, how is your relationship with God? How are you doing with reading the Bible and prayer? So four areas, key areas that we focus on, we help you. And over the next couple weeks, we're actually going to be talking about each of these, diving into how do we seek God first, and how does that apply to each of these areas. Today, we're going to be focusing actually on spiritual, because we are actually spiritual beings in physical bodies, right? We typically live our lives thinking everything in the natural, but reality is we are spiritual beings. We have an eternal state that we're going to spend eternity with God. We have these temporary bodies for 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever we live to be in this world, that these temporary bodies are going to die, but our spirit continues. Our soul, our spirit self continues for eternity. So there's a spiritual side of us, and that's why we're going to focus first and foremost on getting our spiritual selves right. How do we seek first the kingdom of God in our spirit? So Matthew 6 is the primary text we see. Matthew 6, verse 31, there we are. Therefore, and this is Jesus. Now, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's like the most common, most popular sermon that exists. And this sermon that Jesus is sharing, he lays out all kinds of different things. He's talking about different ways of living, ways of thinking, actions, how to have marriage and relationship, how to be parents and children. He lays all these things out. And this part, he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, in some translations say, the unbelievers, the non-Jewish, the people who don't believe in God, they seek after these things. They get consumed and worried about what should we eat, what should we drink, what should we wear. I mean, that's what's so common in our world, right? And part of it's because we're in a natural state. We get hungry. We get thirsty. We need to wear clothes. So, like, it makes sense to have these thoughts. We need to do these things. But he says, don't be anxious about these things. Don't let these things consume you. Don't seek after these things as if that's what's going to satisfy you. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them, knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. The seek first the kingdom of God. That word seek is to investigate, to go after, to get to the bottom of the matter. It's not just a looking and wondering where God is. It's to be intentional. It's to go, I want to know about Jesus. I want to understand who this God is. And we actually seek in his word. We dig, we investigate. We're like, I want to get to the bottom of who this Jesus is. I want to get to the bottom of this resurrection. What is this resurrection that I hear in Christianity? And we seek first, and the word first is to put priority, the highest priority. We put it above everything else, seeking first, investigating, getting to the bottom first is the most important thing. And what that most important thing is the kingdom of God. The kingdom requires a king, right? Any kingdom requires a king, and our king is Jesus. King Jesus, as we were singing earlier, the king is alive. We don't serve a dead religious figure who died 2,000 years ago. We serve a religious figure who died 2,000 years ago, rose from the dead, and still is alive today. We worship a living God, a living king. And that kingdom, it says, though, to seek first the kingdom is that he's in our hearts. Ephesians 3:17 says that he dwells within our hearts. Jesus himself, he dwells within us. And not just in our hearts, but in our church, in our society, in our families, in our home, that when we put God first, we put the kingdom first, we're putting the things of God and God himself, Jesus himself, as king of our hearts. Number one. We don't need a long list of priorities. We need one priority. Jesus is first. Now, Jesus first, then family, then work, friends, and all the other stuff that we do. And if we get that out of order, it messes everything up. So many times our lives are in disorder or chaos, it simply is because we don't have this in order. The priority of kingdom first, God first, our faith in him has to be number one. Everything else can follow that. Your family, your spouse, that should be number two. My wife and I, she's number two. Jesus is number one, and that's the way it's supposed to be. She says the same thing to me. If you ever get that mixed up, things start to get out of order. But what I love about this too is Jesus doesn't just say, stop worrying. Like how helpful is it when someone says, just stop worrying about it. Well, just get over it. You come to me with problems and I just counsel you and I say, just stop it, right? Just stop what you're doing. And that's why I don't have many counseling sessions. No, I'm kidding. But often that's not helpful to just say, just stop it. I mean, there's truth to it. Many times we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves in bad places in life because we're doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. Well, stop it. But not just stop it or stop worrying. Jesus actually says, replace that worry with seeking first the kingdom of God. He gives us the answer. He doesn't just say, stop being anxious, stop worrying. But he says, no, replace that worry with an intentional focus, with a passion, with a desire, going after the kingdom of God first. You see, a habit or a passion can typically only be replaced by a greater habit or passion. You don't give up an addiction. You don't give up, you know, my past especially. You don't give those up for lesser things. You have to give them up for a greater passion, a greater habit, something that's not just going to be an even swap, but even greater than. The kingdom of God is the greatest habit, greatest passion, greatest desire that you could put your focus to, give your life to, because it's the only thing that's going to last for eternity. I mean, it is the eternal kingdom, the eternal reign of our King. And when we put our focus there, that's how we replace those bad habits. And not just the bad stuff like addictions, but what about bad mindsets? Like anxiety, worry, doubt, fear, uncertainty. How many of you would say that would be great to get rid of all that stuff in my mind? And say you can replace that with a focus and intentionality on the kingdom of God. If you're worried or anxious and wrestling through things, it's not to say just stop it, but to put first things first, puts him at the top, puts him in this reign in our hearts, not just in our heads, because we have the head knowledge. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God's going to provide. God's going to make a way. And we say it all in our head, but do we really believe it in our hearts? I would say most of the time, that's the hardest gap to overcome, is from the head knowledge to our heart. Do we really believe it in our hearts? Do we really trust him with our entire lives? That righteousness, seeking his righteousness, is divine approval, right standing with God. So we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, seeking to please God first. How many of you want to please God? How many of you say, like, if God would say, I'm well pleased with you, I'm so pleased that you're my son, you're my daughter, I'm pleased with the way you're living, I'm pleased with your thought life, I'm pleased. That's what we should all be seeking and desiring to have as a response from God. Now, God is not swayed by our actions. He loves us as his children regardless of our actions. How many of you have kids or grandkids? We love our kids no matter how stupid things they do. We love our kids regardless of their actions, but we also want them to do the right actions. We want them to have the right behavior, the right habits, the right things. So God, we should desire to have God's divine approval and be in right standing with him. That verse 34 says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There is enough to worry about today. Amen. I mean, we got a Steeler game tonight, and I'm not calm peace about that, but just kidding. That reality, though, is do not be anxious about tomorrow. I think something we all do, I think, way too often, and I mean, it's very generality, but stick with me. We focus a lot on our past, all the missed opportunities, all the what ifs, all the stuff that we did before, all the bad things that somebody did to us, and we can get so consumed or focused on that, and we look at what is happening tomorrow. We look at what's happening next week. We get consumed with worrying about the what ifs and the what's going to happen and the unknowns. And we miss living in the right now. And Jesus, when you read about Jesus, it's amazing to me how he never seemed like he was in a hurry. I mean, his friend is dying and he's like, I'll get there in a few days. And I'm like, he knew he was going to raise Lazarus back to life. But I'm like, how do we have that peace? Like, we can't come out of this Christmas season where we talk about peace, the Prince of Peace, and how peace reigns in our heart. And we have this beautiful candlelight service where we're at peace. And then it's like busy, 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 right? But how do we carry that peace with us throughout the year? How do we make sure we have this, we don't live in anxiety and anxiousness and worrying about tomorrow or living in the past, but how do we just live today? How do we be like Jesus? He was just, I just pictured Jesus, like he was chill all the time. He didn't get worked up. He didn't get worried about what was for dinner. He just was like, man, it's going to be good. Like, I just feel like he was like, it's cool. Guys, it's cool. Like, chill. I'll raise them back to life, or I'll heal this person. I'll do this. And like, okay, he's Jesus, so there's some of that. But the reality is, I think that's a lesson for us. And he says this, don't be anxious about tomorrow. There's enough anxiety tomorrow to come. There's enough stuff we have to do tomorrow. Let's just worry about today. Let's just focus on today. Not to worry, not to be anxious, but live in the present. And it's a time for us that I believe every single one of us, we want to connect more with God and be less connected to the world. Right? Deep down in our soul, we desire to be closer to God. We desire to have more of him. Like, I know there's times people say, I just don't know how to read the Bible. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to hear God's voice. Or I read it sometimes. It's confusing. But one of the things we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is we have 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. So if you've never fasted, fasting is going without food for spiritual purposes. So the first thing we do, we're going to have, just scheduling-wise, Monday through Wednesday. So 3 days, starting tomorrow, ending Wednesday evening, 3 days for 3 weeks. Because we want to have small, bite-sized chunks. If you want to do 21 days of fasting, go for it. You want to do 40 days, go for it. But if you've never done that, we encourage you to start somewhere. Now, fasting itself is going without food for spiritual purposes. So there's a thing called dieting. Dieting is, it helps you look better. But fasting helps you see better. Fasting helps you see through the lens that God wants us to see, at least a little bit more the way God sees things. So dieting, good, yes. We all probably could lose some holiday weight. But fasting is where we give up food for spiritual purposes. That hungering for food, we replace that with a hunger for God, a hunger for understanding and hearing from him. We're actually going to conclude those 3 days of prayer and fasting each Wednesday with a time of prayer and worship. Wednesdays at 6:30, starting this Wednesday, January 7th, you can come. Everybody's welcome. Invite other people to come. It's going to be very casual. Just sit wherever. Bring a Bible. If you don't have a paper Bible, we'll give you one. If you have your Bible on your phone, that works too. It's going to be a time for you to read the Bible. We're going to worship. We're going to have extended time of worship and prayer. That's all it's intended to be. Hour and a half. We'll see what happens. If you can come for 30 minutes, come for 30 minutes. Right? It's meant to be a time for us to just hear God, gather together, worship him, read, pray. We have a list of things to be praying for. In your personal life, the one thing I think will help you the most with fasting is truly ask God what he wants for you. Ask him what you should be praying for. What do I need to pray for? You probably know already. Things in your life that you know I need God to move. I need God to move in a family member's life. I need God to do something in my workplace. I need God to show up in some way and pray about that. Or pray for other people, lost family members, people in your workplace that you just don't think are living according to God's righteousness. Pray for them. Seek God for spiritual things, then worry about what you're supposed to cut out. Now, fasting food, there's several options for fasting. You can do a complete fast, which is water only. I don't recommend you start there, but if God says do it, obey God. But you can start by complete. That's water only for 3 days. I'll be honest, I tried it. My first time I ever tried it, I almost passed out day two because I was working and needed calories. And there's an element of do whatever God's telling you to do, but there's also wisdom. And if you've never done this before, I don't usually recommend you start there. Start with getting rid of some food, all the junk. We all eat way too much junk. And I say all. Some of you might eat really clean and healthy, but most of us don't. We can cut some meats, sweets, and treats. We cut out some breads. You cut out some of the extras, the junk, the coffee, any of the extra things. A partial fast is where you eat a normal meal once a day. So maybe in the middle of the day, you're going to be hungry in the morning. You eat your meal in the day, and you're going to be hungry going into the evening. Use that hunger for a hunger for God. Turn that for a spiritual purpose. Then there's additional things like soul. Those are like getting off of Facebook, Instagram. So like take 3 days off of reading the news and what's happening. I know there's big world things happening in Venezuela and in country, but like it's probably going to be better for you to just disconnect for 3 days. You're not going to miss on too much. You'll get back on Thursday, right? Or just take 3 weeks off. That'll be good for you too. So fasting, primarily it's giving up food for spiritual purposes. Find your spiritual purpose. Find that thing that God is speaking to you, that person in your life that you know God needs to move in their heart, whatever that breakthrough is or that situation, that person. Find that spiritual purpose, then figure out the food stuff. To me, the spiritual purpose is more important than what we're giving up or not going to be eating. So fasting, prayer, and worship, we covered that. Matthew 17, so needing, the reason we do this is because we need more faith. And we see this example in Matthew 17 where Jesus is with a large crowd that's waiting for him, and this man comes before him and kneels down before Jesus and says, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water." He said, "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Jesus said in verse 17, and this sounds a little harsh, but this is what Jesus said. He says, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Now, this story, the point of it all is that I believe we have the faith and the authority in Christ available to us as his sons and daughters, but yet we don't always exercise it or see it fulfilled. That faithless and unbelieving, it's not that we're not saved. He's like, you're not connected to God. You're disbelief. You have distrust in your heart to trusting, can God really do what he said he can do? Can God really do what he's been doing for thousands of years that we read his testimony and the stories throughout the Bible? Does he still do that today? Can God move miraculously today? And I say, absolutely. But yet, in the same breath, we go, God, help us with our unbelief. Because we wrestle with that. And it's okay to have some wavering at times, but have to get to this place where I believe God can do what only he can do. That God has given us this authority, this freedom, this ability in our lives to see things change and transform. That if we really want to change our spiritual lives, our faith has to grow. How do we build our faith? Through the Word. Through the Bible. Get on a Bible reading plan. I always recommend YouVersion Bible app. It's free. It's one of the most user-friendly. I'm reading through the Bible chronologically again this year just because I'm like, I want to just keep reading the Bible over and over and over. You do a plan because then it tells you what to read every day. You don't have to figure it out. And then when you get on 2 days after missing, it reminds you missed 2 days, right? So you can get back on track. Use Bible plans. I tell people all the time, use Bible plans because that's the Word of God. That's how you're going to build your faith. That's going to be the best thing for your spiritual life and for your life in general because you're reading the Word of God. The other thing, he says, faithless is corrupt. Corrupt is the distorted or twisted into a shape that wasn't meant to be. It's also another word for that. It's like corrosion. Like when there's corrosion on your car battery, again, I'm using some semi illustrations here, but there's some corrosion, it doesn't make a good connection. That wasn't the problem, by the way, with mine. But that corrosion, it has a disconnection. It doesn't make a secure connection. Corrosion happens in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. The more we're in and part of the world, the more you go to work and you have to deal with people who are just rude to you, mean to you, bad boss, the more you have to deal with stuff in life, that's creating corrosion in us that's causing the disconnect from God. So we have to continually disconnect from God and disconnect from the world, disconnect from all that stuff, and connect with God. Make a connection with Him. One of the ways we do that is prayer and fasting. Reading the Word is another way. So be all in for Jesus in 2026. That's probably my number one thing. And people ask me, how can I help? How can I help the church? How can I help you, Pastor Eric? I say, just be all in for Jesus. Like really give your life to Jesus fully. Not just Sunday morning, but man, what would it look like if every day of our life was for Jesus? That everything we did, the way we talk to our spouse, the way we treat our kids, the way we show up at work, the way we do life, the way we drive our car down the parkway in traffic, everything we do, what if we did it all in for Jesus? What if we could live that way? How much better would not just our lives and our families be, but all the people around us would experience that as well? That's my number one, be all in for Jesus. One of the ways we have to do that, and it's a continual thing, is this thing called repentance. Repentance is you're going this direction, and then you turn and you're going a different direction. So in Acts, it says, therefore, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. If you want refreshing and you want 2026 to be the best year yet, it starts with repentance. Now, he's specifically speaking to them about salvation. There is a need to repent in order to be saved, but all of us need to repent. I repent consistently of, God, I'm so sorry I was thinking that way. God, I'm so sorry I didn't do this thing. God, I repent of that. I turn and start going a different direction. So yes, there's this idea of I'm living a worldly, selfish lifestyle. I repent. I turn and go the different direction. I'm now following God for salvation. But there's actually repentance that all of us can do on a daily, weekly basis of repenting from things as we start to go a certain direction. We start to fall back into old mindsets, and we start to go into the new direction towards God. That repentance is a decision that changes, and a change of mind, which in turn leads to a change in purpose or an action. I would add to that, it's a change of heart first. When your heart gets changed and your heart is seeking and desiring the kingdom of God first, you're all in for Jesus, then He begins to renew your mind when you read the Word, and then our actions and our purpose changes. We live a different purpose when our hearts are changed and our minds are changed, and it starts with repentance. Your past has to be your past. Move on from it. Don't carry it on to the new year. Don't bring all those hurts and habits and bad stuff into the new year, but seek first the kingdom of God. And one of the best things about our sin and our repentance is Psalm 103. Psalm 103 says, He does not punish us for our sins. Amen? God does not punish us for our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. God removes our sins. He removes the consequences of our sin because Jesus Himself took the punishment upon Himself. We don't get punished. We don't get dealt harshly as we deserve. That should be the most exciting statement in the whole Bible, and it is. God doesn't treat us the way we deserve, but instead He shows His unfailing love for us. If you were feeling down at all this year so far, reread that over and over again this week, that we don't get what we deserve. That's His mercy. His grace is that He removes our sins as far from us as the east is from the west, and He gives us a new purpose. He renews us. New purpose, new routines, new habits. I believe one of the biggest changes for us is if we could really see ourselves as God sees us. We're going to be celebrating three people taking their next step to be water baptized today. That's what this baptismal is set up for. And if you're being baptized or baptizing somebody, if you could make your way out, you could go get changed and get ready for that. You know, I flipped a lot of houses. I've done a lot of construction work. And many times people say, like, how did you see all that when what you bought was so different from what you saw the end product? And I feel like God just consistently given me an ability to see things the way He intends them to be. And all the stuff with my houses and construction side of things, I just always could see the end result before it started. And I feel like God's given me that ability to see in people. That I see people in this very room, I see you. I see what God has in store for you. I see the potential in you. I see what God has, what he wants for your life. I think more than any of us even believe it. And I think what if we could see what God has in us, what his plan is, what his purpose is, what his renewing in us, instead of what we see, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not skilled enough. I don't have enough this. Instead of saying, but look what God wants to do. God wants to use you, I believe, every single one of you, to build his church, to expand his kingdom, to be all in for Jesus, to bring Jesus to other people. Whether that's one person, whether that's in your household, whether that's just you living your life more on fire for Jesus, whatever that looks like, I believe God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of you, because that's what his word says. What if we could see ourselves the way God sees us? What if we could see this plan, this purpose, this renewing that God has for us? That the old can be gone and the new could begin. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And not you're not just a better you, you're a new you. You're a brand new you. And you can commit your life to him to be a new creation where the old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God. This ministry of reconciliation is that we bring records into account, that right standing with God. I believe there's some of you today here that you go, I want to be reconciled to God. I want to be a new creation. It starts with repentance. The Bible says that there cannot be reconciliation without repentance, that we have to acknowledge our sin. We have to acknowledge we're all doing things, saying things, thinking things that are not pleasing to God. And we repent from them. We say, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to talk that way. God, I ask you to forgive me of all of my stuff, all of my sin, all of my past. You know, I'm overwhelmed that I get to do what I get to do every day. Thinking of my past and who I was and where I was and living for me, that I get to do what I do today. I get to love people. I get to tell people about Jesus. I get to help people begin a relationship with him, to know God, to find freedom, to discover their purpose and make an impact in their world. That's what I get to be a part of. And I want you to be a part of that as well. It's not just about me. It's about what God wants to do through us, through each and every one of us. But it starts with right where you are, making that decision to say, I need to repent. God, I need to confess my sin to you. And God, I want to be reconciled to you. So I invite you in this moment, if you could just close your eyes and bow your head, it helps eliminate the physical distractions. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I want to be reconciled. I want to be pleasing to God. I want my life to be pleasing to him. Before you start changing your behavior and your actions and all this stuff, it starts with your heart. God doesn't just want you to be a good person. He wants you to be a new person, a new creation in Christ. He wants you to be all in for him. So I invite you at this moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, you know what, I want to be forgiven. I want God to forgive me of my past. And I want to be a new creation in Christ Jesus starting today. I want to pray for you. I just want you to slip up your hand right where you are. If that's you, every eye closed, every head bowed, just slip up your hand right where you are and say, that's me. I want to become a new creation in Christ today. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, I pray for every person making that decision, every hand raised, God, that their hearts would be truly surrendered to you. God, I pray that you would show them their past is their past. Their sins can be forgiven because of what you did on the cross. And only by your sacrifice can we truly be set free. Can we truly live in freedom. And Father, I pray that they would know that they are a new creation in you. God, that today would be a new day. January 4th, 2026 would be the first day that they celebrate the rest of their lives and for eternity. And God, I pray for every single person in this room, God, that you would speak to us, help us see how we can seek first your kingdom, put you first as the highest priority in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. God, that we'd see your church grow. We'd see your kingdom built and expanded right here. God, that we'd take the land spiritually of Franklin Regional School District. God, that we'd see communities change and transform for your glory, for your good. God, that your word would be known, that you would be made more famous than anything else that this world has to offer. That God, your name would be magnified and glorified through each and every one of us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.